The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Lori Oliveri, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Judy from Ipswich, Mass., and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Florence, and I'm from Broomfield, Colorado, and I listen to Mickey Miles Podcast.
My name is Maggie. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Bernie Edwards from Columbia, Maryland, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 547 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Mr. Christopher Eliopoulos. Chris, Happy New Year almost.
Almost there. Time to get past 2017. Right. Today's song, as we start to close out the year, is Hocus Pocus by Focus. Oh. It was actually on the recent Baby Driver soundtrack. I forgot how much I like that song, so it's been a new staple. Enjoy listening to it while I run.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Also with us is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. Happy New Year Eve, or whatever we are. Getting close.
And end of the semester for me. Woo woo! Get a month off. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Here's my shout out today, and it is to all of those people in goofy and dopey land like me, and also the half marathon folks who are doing their final training runs. Actually have completed their final training runs for the events in January. So, yes.
Almost there.
What a good feeling. Almost there.
What a feeling. Yep. Well, it's the end of the year. All the Christmas gifts are, you know, now they're half of them are broken and they don't have batteries at work, so we got to start looking at something else. So let's start looking at the new year. And what happens when we have a new year? Everyone starts making these new year resolutions.
Oh, I thought get drunk was the...
Yeah, they get drunk too, but I think my resolution is not to make any resolutions. But anyways, we would like to see, obviously, you know, as we go through the year, we see certain things done by certain people, and we'd say, gee, we'd like to see that person make a New Year's resolution to maybe change some behavior. We'd like to see this, or we'd like to see that. So what we're doing is we're looking at and focusing on Walt Disney World. And Chris and Michelle and I are going through our list of what we would like to see Walt Disney World do. What kind of resolutions... actually, we could say Walt Disney World, or if you guys like, you know, we can say Disneyland, but we're going to focus on Disney World. So we're going to go through, and we're going to list a couple.
It's Disney World? I thought Disney as a company.
Well, we could do Disney. No. Let me start all over again, okay? Because it's Disney as a company, I guess. You're right. Let me start all over again.
So that's fine. Why don't we just leave this in? I'll just say.
Well, I guess it's the alcohol talking. No. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through, and we're going to give what we would like to see the Disney company in any area of Disney put forth for a 2018 New Year's resolution. And with that, normally it'd start with the ladies first. It would be Michelle, but I'm going to put together a swerve, as I just saw Coco, and there were a lot of swerves in Coco. And so I'm going to go to Chris for what Chris would like to see the Disney company put forth as a New Year's resolution. Chris?
So I've got actually a fairly long list, so I may ask your indulgences later on, like just throw in a few extras. But the first one would be to stop buying every production company and go back to creating original content. It seems like the new Disney is all about just buying up other production companies, Pixar, Marvel, and you know, Lucasfilm, and now they're buying the Fox stuff, and it's like they just kind of like pick up all of everybody else's stuff and like turn it into Disney. It's like, well, I love Disney stuff. Like, I love Star Wars, I love Marvel, I, you know, the stuff that Fox is great, all that stuff, but it's like I just want to see the Disney company put together more original content. So that would be my wish, you know, for their resolution.
You know, Chris, it's funny you mention that, because I remember way back when there was some talk about the Muppets and Disney, and I remember the first time being at Walt Disney World watching a performance at the Theater of the Stars before I forget the name, Sunset Boulevard was built at the studios, and there was an afternoon show and the Muppets were on there, and I had mixed feelings. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be Disney, not Jim Henson, and I had a mixed feeling there, and you're right. It seems like Bob Iger just scoops up franchises or scoops up properties rather than creates properties,
yeah,
which Michael Eisner did. So I agree with you.
Well, Eisner in the 80s, it was the Disney decade, right? I mean, there was a lot of 90s, Disney content. That was it the 90s? I thought. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. That was more of them kind of, you know, the new parks and trying to create new Disney, you know, the animation boom was there, but it was all Disney created and Disney centric. And now I feel like it's like we've lost that and we're just scooping up every pop culture thing and passing it off as Disney. So, and then there's a lot of people who feel like because it's Disney now, we have to like it, you know? And, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. So that's my first one.
Michelle?
Boy, Chris, you're so deep. Mine's really simple.
No, I have simple ones down the line. Yeah, don't worry.
Okay. Here's something that I'm always wishing for. I hope it happens someday. I would love to have, as an Apple Watch user, have my Disney experience on my Apple Watch. Mm. So instead of fishing my phone out to see when my ADRs are, or to have to, you know, figure out when the heck my fast pass is, I would love it for it to pop up on my Apple Watch and for it to say, hey, Michelle, in 30 minutes, you and Chris Eliopoulos have a fast pass for Space Mountain. And to be able to actually have the fast pass, like as a QR code on my Apple Watch, and not, you know, have the option of having it on my Apple Watch or on my my Magic Band. Either one would be fine.
Yeah, that's great.
Because I went to, you know, I went to see Coco, and I had, you know, tickets for three people, and I just showed them my watch, and, you know, they were able to scan that, and I was able to get into the movie theater. Why not have that at Disney for my Disney experience? Because I don't want to, and I have the new Apple Watch that has, you know, where you don't, it has cell service, so I don't have to take my phone with me, and I would love to take less to the park. So if I didn't have to do that and have to count on my phone being there and could just have it all on my watch, I would really like that. So please, Disney. Good.
Well, and you forget the biggest thing is so many people walk through the parks looking at their phones, bashing into people. It'd be so much easier just to be able to flick your wrist and look at your watch as opposed to like a zombie walking around following your phone. So
exactly.
Brilliant. Love it. Yes. I love that idea.
Good.
Mike.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was thinking about these, I always think about how fortunate, I know the three of us have been very fortunate and lucky and blessed that we have been able to visit a Disney destination several times in our lifetime. I mean, several times a year sometimes, going down to Walt Disney World, going to Florida, going to California. And I always think about those families who may get to go once, maybe twice if they're lucky. And sometimes when they go down, things are not always opened. You may have some attractions closed because of refurbishments or all kinds of construction going on. So what I would like is when the bell rings on January 1st, I would love to see the Walt Disney Company come up with a resolution that says, we will not begin any new construction for 18 months. I want a moratorium on beginning any construction. They have so much going on. They have so much stuff. I think of people who go down and it's like, well, what, I thought I was going to be able to ride this attraction. Well, it's closed because of this. Or, oh my God, look at all the construction vehicles and stuff going on because the studios, the front of the studios is being moving, or mm-hmm. this or that. And I just think it gets to be very tiring. I've been going to Walt Disney World for over 40 years, and I am tired of it. It seems like every single time I've been down there, a road or a building or a restaurant or an attraction or something or a pool or something is being done. Let's stop it, because when you think about it, the studios, and this is the prime example, the studios has got all kinds of stuff going on. It's like a half a park, but they're charging full park prices. So
my God, you and I are like on the same wavelength. I have a thing similar to this, but yeah.
Yeah. Moratorium, 18 months. I was going to say 2 years, but let me just, you know, finish what you're doing. You already started something, but don't begin anything as
well. A lot of this is the push for 2021, right? It's the big push for the anniversary.
Yeah.
And you know that's what's going on. But yeah, I had a similar one, which is put a moratorium on park pass costs until two of the four Disney parks are actually fully full experiences again.
Because
that's the feeling. It's like I feel like, you know, we go down there. Like, I feel bad for these people that pay for a day pass to, like, the studios. And what are they getting? Five attractions total at this point?
I know.
And there's so much construction going on. Like, I mean, I remember we went by last time we were down there. And we wanted to go see the Muppets show. And they weren't allowing people over there because it was down. And so, like, that back half of the park was just closed. Like, it was just insane. It was like, well, why are we here? You know? So, I agree with your choices. So, all right, my turn?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm going to ask that their New Year's resolutions be bring back plussing. Stop trying to make the short-term dollar versus the long-term customer. In recent years, the last couple of years, I've been going to Disney. The events that I remember the most and cherish the most and make me want to go back aren't things that I – like, it wasn't going on Star Tours. It wasn't going on a roller coaster. It was when I was at the Cruise Cup, and the bartender was telling this idea that she had a s'mores drink that she had created, and we were discussing it while we had ordered a drink, and she just brought over a free drink and said, here, try it out and tell me what you think.
Aww.
Or – right? Or it was the moment we were at it's not Pecos Bills, but what's the other side? It's the Pirates and the
Tortuga Tavern,
is that what it's called? And we were in there with the kids, and one of the cast members was coming by and was asking the kids, what's your favorite Disney movie, and I had come up and she'd said, what's your favorite, like, Disney movie, like, name, give me a movie that I might not know. And I told her The Flight of the Navigator, and she didn't know what it was. I said, it's a wonderful movie, a wonderful little movie, I love it. And we had a nice little conversation. She left and she came back with four of these slushy drinks that they have, so, you know, which are each are probably about $4 or $5, and gave us these drinks just for being polite. And Disney seems to have forgotten all those little pluses, the archway during the holidays in Epcot, like all the little things that cost them money in the short term, but keep customers coming back long term. And I think they've forgotten that. They're just looking at the short term dollar. Yep. So I hope they kind of remember that that's how it was started.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So box goes to Michelle now.
Oh my God, you guys are so passionate. And I'm like, yeah, Apple Watch.
Mine is coming down. Don't worry.
All right. Mine's super easy, but I think of this every time I go to a park, that I think that we've had a win with the AP lane in the parks. I would like to see an AP Express, an AP or DVC Express security lane at each of the parks. So we know that these are the folks like us who are in the parks more than other folks, and I think we needed an express lane. We know how to do it. We know how to get through really quickly. It's kind of like TSA pre-check,
right?
Or, you know, the experience, at least in Logan, they have experience traveler lane. So, you know, you're self-selecting into that lane, but I would love to have just an express lane for people who have AP and DVC, because we are the users who are there more often than others. So we deserve it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Rah, rah. Right.
I agree.
Mike?
thank you. The one of the problems of being around for a long time and going to a Disney theme park destination for a long time is that you see things change and you see things develop, and in some cases it's positive, and in other cases it's negative. And one of the things that has bothered me for about the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, and I don't know if it's ever going to change, is that Disney has pretty much turned its back on children. And this is what I mean by that. A few years ago when they changed the annual passes, maybe it was less than a year ago, about a year ago, they, and I remember talking with you about this, Michelle, they now have made the annual pass so that there's no child annual pass. Annual pass is annual pass. And if you're 3 or 4, it's going to cost you just the same amount as if you're 34, 44, 54, or whatever. Years ago, when you had annual passes or when you had tickets to certain shows and certain things, they had a designation. Walt Disney World had a designation child, and then there was a junior adult, and then there was adult. So they had a tier system. And I think that made sense because obviously a carbon footprint is left larger. There's a larger carbon footprint by an adult than a 3-year-old. So, you know, I can understand you paying more as an adult. But why should my granddaughter, who's 4 or 5, whatever, she'd be paying the same as I pay for an annual pass? I don't understand that. It's not that she takes up that. She does not take up the amount of space that I take up. I just think that it's pretty bad, because I think that what it has done is that it has priced out a lot of young families. If you have 20 years ago, if you had a family and you had if you had a family of 4 and it was a young family, and let's say you had 2 children under 12, there was a savings there because they weren't charged as much as the parents for tickets and things like that, and you could go to a dinner show as a junior or whatever, and that may be in some cases, but I really think that they've turned their backs on the families because they made it more difficult for families to visit their theme parks. And when you think about it, that doesn't make any kind of sense at all, because if you're shutting people out, then they're going to look to make use of their disposable dollars somewhere else, and guess what, you may never. Not only will you never have them as a repeating guest, you'll never have them as a guest. So I really think they need to take a look at that and come back with some kind of a tiered system so that we recognize the children, the teens, and the adults. I'm off my soapbox. Chris?
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's actually true. I mean, how many of these parents would go if their kids could get in cheaper? And do they really cost as much? I mean, we know they always get the small meals. They don't even finish their meals. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know.
It
seems like they cut off their nose to spite their face. Again, it's that short-term dollar versus the long-term customer dynamic they've got going. But my next one is I want to see them bring back the healthy choices in more locations again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems when they originally put
out,
they were everywhere. Everywhere you went, you could find those little kiosks where they had the healthy choices. We find ourselves these days going and we'll go to one or two big meals and we're done for the trip because it's just too much, too rich, too over the top. And I found that I'm seeking, you know, a bag of carrots or grapes or something that they used to have everywhere. I can't even tell you offhand where I remember. I think in Epcot they have it over by the land. They have a healthier one. They have a little bit of healthy stuff over at what's over there in the studios. What is the LA streets? What's that called?
Hollywood Boulevard.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh no, Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset. But I don't really see them ever anywhere else, and I would really like to see
them. No, there's one at I know because I always have to walk way, 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 way over. There's one by Kilimanjaro Safaris at Animal Kingdom.
Right, right.
If you ever go there.
But it's really just like one location, right? It's
yeah,
like
and you have to walk really way out of your way. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is healthier for you too, but I would still.
You're not going to get enough exercise walking around a theme park.
Yeah, of course not. Instead of 8 miles, let's go 10 miles to go see food. So, yeah, that was just my wish. It was a great idea when they did it, and you know, that was like the one thing Bob. I think it was Bob Iger who had initially said, "Let's do this." I guess so many people are so used to eating garbage food when they go to the parks that it just didn't sell well or something. But I'd really love to see it some more. Michelle.
So this is I love food and wine. I really, really love food and wine. And I know in the past few years during Flower and Garden, also I love Flower and Garden, they have started to add some of the kiosks that they have for food and wine. I think there is a capacity there to, because food and wine is so incredibly popular, to maybe have two food and wine types of events. And one would be during a full-fledged food and wine type of experience during Flower and Garden versus just a few kiosks. I would love to see them having it two times a year. So a Flower and Garden food and wine and then a fall food and wine with different offerings. I think it's wildly popular. If you did it throughout the month of May, people could see the fabulous flowers and then also have, you know, more of a food and wine experience. So that's what I would like, Disney, for your one of your resolutions. Do you think?
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, something different, and maybe they should do it in a different location.
Yeah, that would be great, too. That'd be great, too.
A different park or something like that. But mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Now, that was three. Are we going to keep going? We have a couple more? Or
I think we want to – maybe we can go around one more time.
I have another one.
I have one of the this may be something that I may have mentioned before, but I remember having a discussion with Lonnie, who runs the show at American Adventure, and he said to me, you never want to lose sight of the fact that this park was built by a movie company, a company that was based on entertainment. And when I hear that, I think – yeah, the only problem is that they've snubbed entertainment over the past several decades. When I would go to Walt Disney World in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, there was always entertainment around. I remember the All-American College Band would show up in Fantasyland. I'd be walking through Fantasyland, and they would form a circle, and they would play a game with the guests. They would play a music. They would play a television theme, and we had to guess what they were. And it was really, really fun. You could walk through Epcot and come across a couple of musicians playing, or you could come across a guy who was in a bubble in Spain, France.
A bubble?
Yeah.
What do you mean a bubble?
Yeah, there was a guy in the 90s who would, and this was really wild because it was in the summer. He would be we called him Bubble Boy. He'd be like this big ball. And he was walking around in a ball, transparent ball. It was really, really strange. You'd have some of these names may sound familiar. What was the name of the brass in Epcot? Future World. I forget what it was called. But everywhere you went, there was entertainment. There was either singing or there was, you know, impromptu musicians playing music or whatever. Now it has to be all. I don't know what you'd call it, very, very proper, you know, entertainment on the stage or whatever. And I just think that was one of the most charming things about a Disney theme park, is that you never know when you'd be turning around and there would be somebody playing some instruments or whatever, and maybe there'd be characters dancing with the guests. Now, it does happen, but it surely does not happen as often as it used to. And I really miss that. I think that spontaneous entertainment, or when you least expect it, to have something really interesting happening is part of the magic that the Disney theme parks held for everybody. And that magic's not there anymore. So my request to Disney would be to maybe increase the entertainment by maybe 15 to 20%. That's all I'm looking for, 20% increase in the amount of musicians or entertainers that we can come across during the course of our visits to the parks. I really think it would be something really nice to go back to.
Yeah, it's like the small plussing that we talked about, just sort of like little things that nobody expects, and you know, it's fun to come across, and it's a unique event. Like, that's the thing. It's like a little thing that happens to people in a park, and they can talk about later on and be like totally impressed by, and not everybody gets to see it, but it's so much fun. Yeah, I like
it.
All right, the next one is, now we're getting to the bottom of the barrel on mine, but I think Disney should make a New Year's resolution to get rid of the .go.com web addresses that they use. It's like they started that years ago, and it's like there's no reason for it. It's useless. They should just go back to type in WaltDisneyWorld.com and leave it at that, or ESPN.com, and get rid of this .go.com thing. It makes no sense. So that was my simple one.
Want another one, Chris? You want to give us another one?
Well, I had two, but one I'll leave to you because we talked about it beforehand. The other one is very self-serving, which is I think Disney should create a Franklin Richards or a Pet Avengers TV show based on the books that I created, and they should get on that right away. So that would be a good resolution. So, yeah, but that's mine. It's very self-serving. So, but all right, Michelle, bring us home.
All right. So, Mike, are you next?
I am.
Or you
done.
Want to be?
I am done.
Oh, okay. So I thought you had another one.
You were going to give you the last one.
Oh, okay. So mine is just a simple one. Mine is, I was thinking of the new Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, which is one of my new favorite places. Mm. And one of the reasons that I really like it is it's the alcohol. Yeah, it's the tapas. It's the tapas, too. But I really like it because it's really kind of just a quiet place where you can go and sit down and just chill out during your park experience. And I would love to see that type of thing at other parks. I'd love to see that type of, you know, kind of lounge, quiety, you know, it's got the really nice outdoor furniture. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of tucked away and not a lot of people know about it until now. But I would love to see that type of thing at Epcot, at the studios, and also I don't know if you can have it at the Magic Kingdom because it's alcohol, but I love that place, and I'd love to have a place like that in other parks. So
I love it. Yeah. Need some of those times, especially for parents sometimes, to get away and
sit
quietly.
Did you try it out right last time?
Yeah, we loved it. I had a meeting. I was supposed to have a phone meeting, and so we while the kids were roaming around, we ducked into there and got a couple of drinks and some food, and it was great. Like, it was the most relaxed, enjoyable meeting I've ever had in my life. So
yeah, it's really nice. It was even actually kind of even nicer before Pandora opened up because nobody knew it was there. So
right.
Yeah,
very good. So, all right, Mike.
Well, you know what's funny, because I think that when you do these shows, I think that you could do a New Year's resolution show for hours upon hours upon hours. I can think of at least 10 other things that I would love to see. And I think at times, though, I feel like I'm a broken record. And I'm sure people are tired of hearing me say the same things over and over again. But I have to think that there may be somebody out there that agrees with you, Chris, or you, Michelle, or myself when we come up with these New Year's resolutions, and who would say, you know, Michelle's got a good point there, or Chris is absolutely right, they should do this, or boy, Mike's been talking about that for years. So, you know, this is one of those shows where I wish we could go on and on and on, talk about a parade in Epcot. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things, but that's the ones that we came up with for this show, and we're looking forward to seeing the conversation continue on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, as to what you would like to see Disney come up with for a New Year's resolution for 2018. So, on behalf of Michelle Scribner-McLean, and on behalf of Chris Haleopoulos, and of course, Mr. Voice, Rick Gregg, we all want to wish you all a very happy, prosperous, healthy, and successful New Year. So with that, we'll say goodbye. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. And we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.